Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 20. Johnny, what's going on?
Not much. What's going on?
I can't believe we've done 20 episodes of this nonsense.
You've done 20.
I've done 20. Actually, we've done
how many
closer
have we
to
done?
24 total.
Oh, yeah?
I think this is your...
Are you counting like the interviews and that?
Yeah, with all the bonus episodes and stuff like that. So, yeah. So, it's coming along. I hope everybody's enjoying the show.
I'm tired.
You're tired. You are tired. You look tired.
I look tired today, so, don't I?
Yeah. I'm all like freshly.
I wake up and I wrote notes for the show and I went to Target and then I came here.
I woke up and did some work and now I'm wearing my new T-Fury.
Well, and I did work last night, yeah, so that'll and stayed up until probably 1:30 in the morning,
wow,
which isn't normal. So
no. No, that isn't normal for you.
I'm getting old.
Like, that's more like my hours.
Well, so it used to be my hours. And then I got tired.
That happens.
But I did watch last night the Batman versus Superman trailer.
Which I watched this morning.
So that could have caused nightmares that would have kept me awake even more.
Yeah. What did I call it just a little bit ago? The Crapman versus Crapperman.
Yeah.
It was, oh man.
Crap of Justice?
Yep, Crap of Justice. I am not... Usually the more I see about a movie, the more I get excited, right? And it's like, I give like these still frames, like the benefit of the doubt. It's like, you know, I'll wait until I see it in motion before I really make a judgment.
We've only seen, what, a 2-minute flash trailer pretty much.
Right, right. This one was only like 50 seconds.
Yeah, this one showed more of what's happening in the movie.
Yeah.
But it's like, do you need to blow your entire load, quote unquote, in the trailer?
Yeah, you know, I think it's part of, you know, DC is struggling. Like, just across the board.
DC,
not just with the movies, but
DC Comics, DC movies are struggling, and we're going to talk about it later, but DC TV's knocking it out of the park.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So,
I think Warner Brothers is struggling trying to figure out how to up their game to a Marvel level in movies.
But they're
and
trying
this isn't
to,
upping the game.
They're trying to get to the end point where Marvel is now.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do any of the work that goes into getting to
like
where Marvel
got. A second Superman movie should have been Superman, not Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman.
And you know, to be honest, it's a Superman that a lot of people aren't crazy about.
Here's the problem, and this is kind of why I was up late last night, even though I did fall asleep before it was over. Watchmen was on.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, you know, it's on in the middle of the movie, but I'm like, damn, I'm going to watch it. It's good.
It is.
Directed by Zack Snyder. If Warner Brothers would have had the balls enough to tell Zack Snyder, follow a comic book, follow one of our stories, he would have done a really good job. Because The Watchmen is pretty much like
Watchmen,
dead on the book.
300 is frame for frame
from
the comic book.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder on his own.
Yeah,
is not good.
Yeah.
Sucker Punch
is
an awful movie.
With the writing.
Yeah.
Goyer?
Goyer's got to go.
He's just gone down. He was really good, and it just seems like his writing quality's gone down because he's at that point now where, and you know, we've talked about it in other jobs that people have had.
Yeah.
When you get to that certain point, you're like, meh, I don't have to do anything. They ain't going to fire me.
I'm David S. Goyer.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it happens in regular,
it
you
does.
Know, regular
it
workplaces
everywhere.
Too. And it's like, you know, no, you gotta set yourself up for a standard of quality, especially when people are consuming this stuff.
Yep.
And
I mean, there needs to be just like a wholesale cleaning of,
yeah,
like just from DC side, from, you know, all the way from DDO through Lee and Johns and, you know, pretty much anyone who's involved in decision making,
right,
on both the comic and the entertainment side.
Well,
like the only person who should be safe is Jay Olivia, who directs most of the animated movies.
Yeah,
because those are good.
Yeah, I said, I think the television division's doing okay.
Yeah,
you know,
but they're... I mean, I think that's its own like separate.
Yeah,
it just I mean that's like... Greg Berlanti, who's, you know,
well, yeah,
really...
he's pretty much running the show on that side, and he hasn't really hurt us yet.
No. But, you know, so in this trailer, it opens up with this, like, just cheesy music. It felt like it was royalty-free music.
Yeah.
Like, you made
yeah,
the
I
comment. It's
made
like,
that
oh,
comment.
It's, hey, it's what you do.
Yeah,
when you,
well,
when
right,
the
yeah.
Show.
Everybody who does podcasts usually uses royalty-free.
Yeah, I mean, our royalty music is a song called Pomade by a group called Silent Night.
Right.
you know, and I picked it because it sounded fun, and we try and have a fun show, yeah, and yeah, you know, and it's royalty free. But no, it starts. It's like this weird, like harpsichordy thing, and like it's trying to be like noirish.
I said to you that it sounds like a romance movie.
Music. Well, yeah, it's like a total bromance because they lock eyes, and it's like, ooh,
who's that?
Ooh, who is that?
You don't know who that is? That's Bruce Wayne.
He's got a nice car. I like the cut of his trousers. You know, it's like what? And then so then they meet in the trailer.
Yeah,
and then Jesse Eisenberg pops in like a clown.
Literally. Like, literally, he should have been cast as a Joker.
Maybe. But it's like, ooh, look, you're meeting. I love you. And, like, my voice is going really high today.
Well, that was pretty much what he did.
Anyway, but it's just like, God, Lex Luthor is not a clown. He's stoic.
When he shakes Clark's hand and he's like, ooh, he's got a strong grip. And I said to you, I said, does he already know that he's Superman?
You know what? I'm going to guess he does.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Because he's that smart.
He's a blogger.
Yeah,
I don't know what he is. I think he's like a tech genius or something, like, you know, but...
Well, yeah, he's going to be Lex Luthor, but it's, you know, like you've said, your Lex Luthor is...
Clancy Brown.
Yeah. And I'm a fan of the original Superman movie, so Gene Hackman...
Yeah, I mean, Gene Hackman was a great... Yeah, Gene Hackman... He was still campy and comedic, but that was the tone of those
movies.
Yeah,
but his Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor portrayal was more the genius who didn't make it, and, you know, this is what I'm going to do.
So... They're going for a dark movie. I mean, they just are. Like it's another dark palette.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's very Dark Knight.
But Superman's costume is actually blue and red.
It is
instead
this time.
Of gray.
Yeah. But and then you introduce your villain or one of your villains to be the comedic relief.
I'm tired of Lex Luthor and Zod.
Tired of Zod.
Yeah, and we're going to get both in this movie because we're going to get Zobby.
Yeah, the cave troll version of Zod. Like
Zodenstein's monster. Frankenzod, yeah.
So, Frankenzod.
And the worst thing is, he said in an interview that he went and filmed, I can't remember the actor's name right now, that played Zod.
Michael Shannon.
But he said that he went and filmed stuff where I guess they put the dots on him for CG, and he's playing that role.
Goodness.
So it's like, because the facial reactions, because it's Zod's body,
right?
You know, it's like, I guess they wanted his facial reactions, and I'm like, why?
Hey, you know, good luck or congratulations to Michael Shannon for getting a paycheck.
Literally, I like Michael Shannon.
I do too.
Put him in the Marvel Universe.
He was in, he and Joseph Gordon-Levitt did this crappy bicycle. It's like kind of the remake of
Silver,
Premium Rush.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Yeah. Like, you know, it's not a good movie, but
it's a movie that I know a few people really like. Yeah. And like I told you, I said, it was enjoyable to watch. I probably wouldn't go back and watch it again. But Michael Shannon, you know, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Was he 6 feet under?
I think so, yeah.
So
he did this little quirky movie, and I can't remember the name of it, where he plays... like a farmer who has paranoid delusions of a tornado hitting.
Oh, wow.
And he's really good in that, too.
That's cool,
yeah. But he was good as Zod. I liked him as Zod.
He was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, hands down. Because it was the only character that I felt like they nailed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, Lois was kind of a simpering little weak lady.
And kind of playing like a detective. And it's like, you're not a detective, you're a
investigative reporter.
The only other person I think I liked... was Perry White.
Yeah.
Perry White was like, you know, and it's like, obviously he'll be in this because we've seen him in one of the previews.
Right.
But it's like a little bit more Perry White. Like I said, if it was a Superman movie, we would see the characters from the Superman comic book more, and we're not going to.
No, this is not a Superman movie. No. I mean, it's not meant to be, and we know that.
This movie's setting up Suicide Squad. This movie's setting up Justice League, because obviously there's going to be references to the Joker. Yeah.
Well,
because,
I mean, we've seen with the Robin suit.
Right, the Robin suit, you know, and all that stuff.
Is the Joker Jason Todd.
Yeah, well, so. You know, whoever he is, it's like, you know, I don't care that much, but I'm like, will we go see this? Yeah, we will.
Yeah, I mean, we will, just so we can complain about it. But, like, you know, a couple other things. The Batman branding people, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not, you know, he wants to be an urban legend. He doesn't want to leave behind proof that he exists.
Right.
People are going to be like, oh, well, he's branding people. Let's find out a way to stop him. No, it's like, it was a man who looked like a bat, or a bat who looked like a man, whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, they're terrified. So it's, this just happened. I'm scared. I'm going to tell all my friends about it. So they'll be scared and like they can let their imaginations go wild.
Right. And the only thing that like I'm seeing from this movie that kind of looks like it's an explanation is because of the whole thing that happened with Zod and Superman. Yeah. And whoever dies, because someone obviously is going to die, because he's supposedly retired.
Yeah, I guess
he had like, retired after the whole thing with Joker.
Yeah,
Todd so or whatever. Which
I guess we'll find out about.
Yeah, Suicide and I'm like, Squad. You know, and it's obvious that he's come back to get Superman's attention, and he's not following his modus operandi that he did before.
And you know, I mean, in The Dark Knight, because like, this is where this character's
basis is coming from. Literally using that armor.
Yeah.
And it's like, whatever, you know?
Like, there's no point of reference for that. And you know what? I'm sorry. Like, we normally don't complain like this.
Right, yeah.
And it's, you know, as passionate of, like, just Batman and Superman fans as we are.
DC. I'm a DC fan. I mean, we grew up DC.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's one of those things where we've said that.
It makes me very, very sad. Because, like, I grew up, I mean, the main staples of my pull list have always been a Robin book,
yep.
Batman books, you know, Green Lantern. What else? The Flash.
Right.
I mean, those four have always been like staples.
And the only one they haven't destroyed in the cinema is The Flash yet. So yet. You know, yeah. Well, I said it yet because it's one of those things where here's my nitpick problem.
Yeah.
Is that Warner Brothers just lets a guy come in? Mm-hmm. You're going to direct this movie. Go ahead and pick whatever you want from the comic books, but it doesn't have to fit the story. Just, you know, shove that puzzle piece into the wrong puzzle.
Right.
And it's one of those things where, with Marvel, they've evolved everybody.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where the Iron Man story was similar to the original Iron Man story. He was captured by terrorists, quote unquote, and he was manipulated. His heart was damaged. Mm-hmm. And they've evolved it from there. I mean, everybody else, their origins are very similar to the characters.
And the beauty of Marvel is it's gotten to the point now, they're what, 9, 11 movies in?
Pretty much, yeah.
They don't...
Chapter 2's done, so...
Yeah, so Phase 2, whatever. They don't have to do origin stories anymore.
Yeah.
Because they've established a history, and they can have characters like Black Panther show up, like Doctor Strange show up...
Right.
...with little to no background.
Yeah.
Like Jessica Jones...
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's different because it's Netflix streaming and it's 13 one-hour movies, basically. Right. But at the end of the day, we didn't actually see her origin. We got her mid-story.
Right.
And it works all the better. Well, and it's one of those
things where you can allude to things.
Flashback.
And, yeah. And it's one of those things where I told you, I hope that in Civil War, since we've seen that preview, or that trailer too, that they maybe allude to Captain America meeting Black Panther, T'Challa's father, because they've done that in the comic books where Captain America during World War II at one point went to Wakanda.
Right.
And it's like, and I hope that they allude to that, and that's the thing.
His shield being vibranium, and I don't know if they have the vibranium adamantium mix.
It's not adamantium. Yeah, they couldn't use adamantium because it's part of the X universe.
Anyway.
Another one where we'd
is it really part of the X universe or just all of Marvel? I mean, yes, it's Wolverine's.
Well, that's why. That's why.
Structure is coded in the stuff.
You know, because it's quote unquote part of the X universe because it's all in adamantium.
But like, you know, Wolverine. Ultron was adamantium for a while. In Age of Ultron, he was trying to become vibranium.
Right. And,
you know, so Vision is vibranium. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, so I brought up Vision there real quick.
Yeah.
Just switching gears, since we're just harping on Warner Brothers. Did you watch Supergirl this week?
Oh, the tornado?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so I saw the pictures of it. I'm like, I really don't like the looks of that. I didn't vocalize it. And I'm like, I'm going to wait to see it. He was too short. The actor has too pronounced of a nose to be a robot.
Well, and I didn't like the Tin Man look of the head.
Like, at all. Like, the kid.
Well, literally, like, the nose looked like he was Tin Man, pretty much.
I mean, it was just that guy who played the doctor, I think.
Yeah, he played Dr. Morrow.
Yeah.
Tio Morrow.
Yeah. The kid was like, is that guy dressed up? I'm like, technically, yes.
Yeah.
but, yeah, he just looked stupid.
Well, it was one of those things where
he was covered in cloth.
Introduction of the character wasn't anything. The episode was about her getting angry.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you just used the red tornado and called it seeing red? That was the name of the episode.
It was called Red Faced.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, and I think this is just kind of indicative of what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, a couple weeks ago we talked about source material. You know, you're making these things. Yes, you can tell an original story, but there's 75 years of history.
Yeah.
Especially with these two, three characters in Batman v Superman that you can base this on.
Right.
The death of Superman was a great storyline.
But the death of Superman storyline, if you want to use that, you have to introduce all these characters beforehand.
You can't just have
Doomsday. You can't have Doomsday show up to fight Batman, yeah. Wonder Woman, and Superman. Doomsday should have been like what Marvel does at the end of the credits.
Yeah.
Where you would have just heard this pounding at the end of the...
Or you see Lex taking Michael Shannon off to make, yeah. Like, you know, and then start experimenting and maybe
but,
you hear
I mean,
some screams,
you know,
or something like that. But
whatever, it's just...
So there's like, I mean, you and I both have like journalism backgrounds.
Yeah.
So, and there's that old writer's adage, show, don't tell.
Right.
Marvel shows us, DC tells us. It's that plain and simple.
Yep.
So, all right. You know, I want to know what everybody else thinks about this. Like, I've seen a lot of negative reactions online.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen any positive. To be fair, I haven't been online a whole lot this morning.
And that's the same with me. So.
And so, if you liked this, email us at theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. We want to know, like, first off, why you liked it. I'm not going to bash anyone for liking this.
No.
If you like it, great. I want to know why, because, like,
Give us reasons. Don't just say I just liked it.
Yeah.
You know, give us a little bit of reasoning, because I want to hear what other people got to say.
I will say one thing, just to kind of end on a positive note. I'm really interested to see Henry Cavill play Clark Kent.
Yeah,
like
doing the interview,
the facade, yeah, of Clark Kent. You know, not farm boy Clark Kent, not, you know, Smallville Clark Kent.
Daily
the facade
Planet,
that,
yeah,
is Clark Kent to, you know, kind of hide in plain sight.
Yeah, the Daily Planet reporter, yeah, who's Superman, yep, pretending to be somebody.
So I'm really interested to see how he pulls that off, because that's always been one of my favorite parts,
right,
of Superman. All right. So, moving on. Hey, you want to talk about The Walking Dead?
When do we not?
Well, we're not going to talk about it until February.
Well, yay!
But,
will we talk about when we don't have enough, you know, The Walking Dead to talk about?
We have Agent Carter. We have Legends,
right,
of Tomorrow.
I know. I was being sarcastic.
There's lots to talk about there. But yeah, so. Oh, man. There was so much happened in this episode. In such a little time.
So much happened, but again, like we've been saying, nothing happened too.
But, I mean, it's exactly what I said when the season started. If I would have just watched the very first episode of this season
and then jumped
and
to this,
the mid-season,
right,
finale, I would have been fine and caught up on everything, right, except for Daryl and Abraham and Tasha.
Yeah,
Sasha. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, you got a little bit of Carol. You got a little bit of Morgan. You know,
a little bit of SmackDown.
Yeah, I think Morgan is not long for this world.
Yeah, this would be the time that he would be gone, because
we're
like
at the No Way Out part of the Walking,
yeah,
Dead storyline in the comics.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that very last
the
scene.
The gates fall. And,
yeah, that very last scene was ripped straight from the book.
Yeah.
And something horrible happens, not only to, what's her name? The blonde actress.
Oh, Alexandra Breckenridge.
Yeah, her character. Something horrible happens to her character and her kids. And Carl.
Well, see, and she only had one kid.
Well, right.
Right.
So
yeah, and then I wonder if they'll do the Carl thing.
I don't think they will. Although, I will say this. Chandler Riggs.
Oh, yeah.
You were awesome this week.
Yeah.
I was, for the first time, first off, he's getting, buff. Like, he's
starting to
look
jacked. Did
you
see the rumor about him?
No.
That he's one of the actors they're looking at to play young Han Solo?
I could see that.
Yeah?
Like, I can see that. I don't think he gets used enough on The Walking Dead.
Well, and I think it's because he is
and
at that age
to,
where he's,
like,
in
he's
high
in
school,
school
and, you know.
But is he in an actual school? Or
he actually goes to school.
Okay,
yeah.
So that
and
was,
the funny thing is, the actress that plays Enid.
Yeah.
goes to a school, I think, that rivals his school, or they go to the same school or something.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, she mentioned it on The Talking Dead at one point that, like, they either go to the same school or she goes to the rival school for his school. But yeah, that's why, like, he does a lot of convention appearances, you know, during the summertime and that.
Yeah.
But during the school year, he doesn't do as many.
I mean, because he came to ours.
That was right at the beginning of September.
It was the beginning of September, so, like, but it was also a weekend.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
He wasn't there on Friday.
I mean, right.
That was when it was just a Saturday-Sunday show.
Yep. And it's one of those things where I think because he's in school and, you know, his parents aren't, like, trying to put him... they're not showbiz parents. And he's having a normal life. Yeah. I mean, as normal as it can be when you're...
As normal as you can be is when you're the adolescent lead.
Top-rated TV series.
You know, record-breaking TV series. I was excited about Carl.
The smackdown in the garage.
Carl has got, like, in the comic, he's my favorite character.
Yeah.
Because of how he is.
Yeah.
And especially, like, now, like, the serene calm that's come over him.
Well, yeah, the Carl in the comic book has evolved in the way that, you know, he was a little kid.
Yeah.
And now in his teens, in the book.
He's never really lived in a world without, like, he doesn't remember what it was like before.
He was like 8 years old in the book.
So, and I don't think they've done a good enough job on the show portraying that. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Right.
So, like, kind of the big things that happened was the fight there. The mayor or senator, came to her end.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
I liked her.
I did too. Yeah. I was kind of hoping they were going
to
keep
her
around.
You know, it happened to her counterpart in the comic book, too.
It was a man.
Yeah, it was just a flip. They literally flipped the characters, and Reg was, Regina in the comic book. And it's like, they just flipped it. And I knew it was coming, but I liked her.
Yeah. I wish she would have been, like, kind of philandering, like, Reg in the comic.
Yeah.
But, who would she have done that with?
Right.
Because it couldn't have been Daryl. Abraham's gone. Like, you know, they're off. Like, it wouldn't have worked with Rick. It would have been interesting.
Yeah, her style was a little bit different than his because she didn't come off as smarmy like the character.
Oh, she wasn't creepy.
Yeah,
or,
she wasn't like
date rapey at all.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where she was on The Talking Dead this week.
Yeah,
and, every actor on there, she said she was sad to go, but she had fun.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed working with Andrew Lincoln, she said.
Well,
so, I think
her
everybody.
Final scene,
oh, man.
She had the best, like, payoff. Like,
yeah, she, with her,
taking a bunch out and then, like...
Not seeing her die, but knowing that she was going to die.
Not hearing the scream.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, wow. It was just really... Like, that was great.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this episode.
Yeah.
I really did.
It was a decent episode.
We have Glenn and Enid getting back, like, you know, kind of seeing... He sees Maggie's alive.
Yeah.
So.
That was cool. And I was thinking, like, man, he should have yelled her name.
Yeah.
Just so she would have seen
him. She saw him at the end
Did
of
she see
the
him?
Week before because she was like, Glenn.
Well, yeah, she's seen the balloons and that. But I'm like, it would have been awesome if they would have just had that
eye contact.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead. One complaint, and it references the coda at the end. Mm-hmm. AMC needs to just play it at the end of the credits. It literally did not play at the end of the credits. Chris Hardwick mentions it in The Talking Dead that it played at the end of the credits.
Wait, what?
The scene at the end with Daryl and them.
Yeah.
It may like when you watch it online, it may play at the end of the credits, but
I saw it on YouTube, so
right. Watching it live, it wasn't at the end of the credits. They said to watch the first part of Into the Badlands. They don't need to do that.
No.
They really don't need to do that because it's like I'm watching Into the Badlands because of Into the Badlands, not because The Walking Dead's on before Into the Badlands.
I watched the first episode of Into the Badlands.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I just need to go back to it. That's all.
Yeah.
We had the holidays and, you know, it was one of those shows where it's like, I'm not invested into
it. It's one of those shows where I think they should have played it in the summertime.
It's six episodes.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I think it would have prepared well maybe later down the road with Preacher.
Yeah.
So, and maybe that's what they end up doing instead of having it Sunday fight night.
Right.
But Rick was good.
Everybody was in character.
Yeah, it was going back to the zombie guts.
You know,
which, again, taken straight
and
from
referencing
the comic.
It, you know, we've done this before. Yeah.
So, not putting the guts on Judith, you know, was a nice
touch. That was, like, you know, one of the things where I was like, I even said to her when we were watching it, I'm like, well, crap, they're going to take this baby out there, which the baby was not there in the comic right. book, and she's going to start crying.
It's no, like, it's the crappy little kid. Yeah, the crappy baby, little kid. And
somebody did a meme where they put Stewie's head on his head. Mom, mama, mama.
Well, somebody needs to do the Doctor Who. Are you my mummy?
Yeah, that'd be cool, too.
That'd be a good one. So if you're good with video production, go ahead and do that, and we'll share it.
It was one of those things where it's like, you know, what's going to happen next?
I don't know. That's the beauty of it. We know what's going to happen, but like, I like the idea of them following the comic.
Yeah.
And one of my biggest problems with the show is when things start to go poorly creatively.
Yeah.
They revert back to whatever like the next tentpole moment is and create that on the screen.
Right. And
it's like
a lot of the problem that's happening now is, you know, and it's the fans of the show because they know a little bit about the comic mm-hmm. book. You know, they're reading the comic right. book or they've caught up on the comic book. They want Negan and they want him now. And that's what they're just bowing down and letting, you know, okay, we'll bring him in.
And so that was like the post-credit right. scene with yeah. them in the gang. And I'm assuming that's Dwight.
No, Dwight was the guy that
stole... that was right with the insulin.
Yeah.
That
stole Daryl's bike.
That's right.
Crossbow.
I forgot about that. So,
which makes sense because Dwight uses a crossbow in the comic book.
He does.
So,
I wonder if he'll get
the iron to the head. I think that's going to be
next. That'll be his penance for yeah. taking off.
Yeah.
You
steal from Negan, you get punished.
I think it's way too soon for that. Because, yeah. like, they have to. There's a whole nother community out there that they have to start bartering with and forming a relationship with, and then have the stakes there
right.
to really make Negan's introduction powerful.
Right.
Because when he came along, it was first off completely foreign, so we didn't know who this person was.
Right.
And then second off, he literally hit the panel with a bang.
Right. And the whole thing was they introduced the Hilltop, and people were talking about him,
right.
like, you know, in whispers yeah. of fear, kind of like the Batman.
Yeah.
You know, and it was one of those things
where... He was an urban legend.
he kind of was like, we're dealing with him.
He was the boogeyman.
Right, but he was. He's a scary creature. They've all seen it, and like, you know, Rick's group was like, who the hell is this guy?
Well, in the whole point of Rick's group at that point is like, you know, and why they're the saviors.
The survivors.
Survivors. That's right.
Yeah.
The survivors. The saviors. Is Negan. Yeah. Sorry. I got it backwards.
Yeah.
Where he, that's their whole bargaining point. Cause at this, like after No Way Out, they have nothing left in Alexandria.
Right. Yeah.
Their walls are down. They're very vulnerable.
Right.
And they find this other community and they're like, look, you have this problem. We have, you know, they have a very special set of skills.
Yeah.
And you know, he's going to put the soy sauce in his hair and go back to speaking with his British accent.
Right,
and he's
going
to travel over to Europe and find his daughter.
I will find you.
He will find him. Kill and you. He will kill him, but, or not. Anyway.
They're friends.
There's just no.
Now they're friends.
Bestest buddies. They're going to go on a buddy cop adventure.
Oh, you know, so, it's going to happen.
But no, it's just, there aren't going to be the stakes when he shows up. And I think people will ultimately be disappointed.
It's
like by naming the governor.
Yeah.
Like giving him a backstory, giving him any kind of sympathy with Tara and her family. And
well,
that
I think with the governor, the name was already there because Kirkman had written the novel. And, you know, given him a name and they just used it. But it was one of those things where it's just, yeah, you listen to the fans.
Yeah.
But you don't always... You know what? Capitulate to what the fans want.
That's an SAT word.
Hey, right, you know.
I haven't
used that word in a long time.
I haven't heard that word in a long time. Anyway,
I agree.
I think one of the other things that they need to do is understand that a little bit of mystery goes a long way, and the people who watch these shows now are much more intelligent.
Yeah.
Than even 5 years ago, because you know. It's all second screen experiences. People like, I mean, we both watch while we do other things.
Well, right. Yeah. And with me, it's one of those things where, and I've said it, I've been reading the book since number one.
You have, yeah.
And if this show just follows the path of the comic books, it's going to lose a watcher because I'm not wanting to see the comic book. I want to see this story from this, and I'll say it, a parallel Earth version of The Walking Dead, because that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, Walking Dead I'm Earth 2.
Yeah, yeah, literally, you know, it's another version of it. And if they keep going on, like with comic book stuff, then I get bored.
Yeah.
And that's when I don't totally pay attention to the episode. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to go, I hit the rewind button because I'm like, wait, what happened?
Yeah. I will say just one thing. The Invincible Mini-Mates.
Yeah. Oh, that was cool.
That made me happy because I have that set.
Yeah. So I have that set too. Yeah.
I actually have Invincible out. But yeah.
There's ants coming in through the window and eating that cookie you left on the floor.
I had to look. I'm like, did I leave a cookie? And then I think back, it's like, if I had a cookie in here, how bad would I be murdered by my wife?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it was a good episode. It proved my point fantastically about not having to watch every week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, and the thing at the end with Daryl and Sasha and,
oh God,
Abraham. It's just like, well, where's this going to go? And I was hoping that truck would show up, like, you know, and come plowing through the zombies. Yeah.
So I think Glenn is going to be the one that saves them. Because he's actually on the
outside. He's already making a plan in his head. You could see it. Like, wait a minute. They're at this gate. So they'll go over to this gate. And it's like,
we'll go here and they'll go there. And we'll shoot them here. And I just want the pacing of this show to be better.
Yeah.
You know, it's been every showrunner. Like, Frank Darabont was too slow. Gimple, who's the current one, gets way too fast. He's way too far ahead of himself.
Right.
The person who took over at the mid part of
yeah, I don't remember.
Season 3.
He's still a producer on the show.
Yeah.
But he's not running the show anymore. Gimple took over the running. Yeah,
so it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, I want it to be...
Well, they always make me nervous when they're like, this season's going to be the season where it just, you know...
Right, right.
Boom! And it's like, no, don't do that because you're overselling yourself. You do that to us and then everybody's going like, damn, this show's too slow, blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
too slow. What are you doing to us?
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, do something.
Yeah.
You know, maybe kill off a few of the characters.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they always do that in the book. I mean, Kirkman don't have a problem killing his people off.
There's no character in the book that is...
I mean, now he's a little bit more hesitant because of the show, because now he regrets killing people off because they've turned into good characters on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the character he wrote in the comic book.
Right.
So, you know, I'll keep watching.
I really wonder what'll happen if they kill Daryl. I don't think they ever will.
Women will riot.
We riot.
That would be a different kind of riot. That'd be pretty awesome. Would Atlanta burn?
Yeah, burn it to the ground again. It's like Sherman all over again. All right.
Well, they'll bring Daryl's sister in from Fear of the Walking Dead.
His sister? Is that his sister? Oh, yeah, I guess. She could be in L.A.
Well, you know, they've alluded to that whole thing on Fear of the Talking Dead. Like, people are like, is that Rick's sister is what it was. You know, the lead character. Because she's got a little bit of a southern accent. Yeah, and she mentioned something about Georgia at one point.
That's just her voice.
Yeah.
She's natural little twang. So.
Yeah.
All right. So, mid-season, check it out. If you missed the little post scene, it's on the AMC YouTube channel. It'll actually be on the show notes, embed. So just check out the infospodcast.com.
Everything you own, you don't own. It's ours.
It's ours.
So Daryl's just ran into another claim group is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, he's like, wait a minute. I've had this happen before.
Yeah. I'm just going to wait for Daryl just to, like, go off and, like, start his own group. And
I think it would be cool if, you know, that's another thing. Why couldn't you just have a character where he decides, I can't do this anymore, and just leaves?
Yeah.
And Daryl would be the perfect one to do that.
He'd be
just
fed up.
Just ride off into the sunset, and then, like, maybe a couple years down the line, the show's going to, you know, go at least 8 years.
Yeah.
Have that character come back. Yeah. You know, at a major turning point or something.
Yeah. I mean, how busy is Norman Reedus really?
Still doing a lot of photography. Is there a
Boondock Saints 3 coming out?
He's like doing a lot of photography books and that. Nice. So, you know.
Anyway. No, I wasn't.
That's the thing is he's locked into this show.
The minute
show.
He gets off of this show, I mean.
Dude, man, he'll be all over.
He's going to cut his hair and shave his face and like he's going to be in some.
He'll play young Han Solo.
No. Please, no. All right. So Walking Dead comes back. February
2nd. Oh, no, 14th.
14th.
Valentine's Day.
So, St. Valentine's Day zombies. You
jab us right through the heart.
Yep. All right. So, the big thing this week, and you actually for us. Watched, we're recording, and you've actually watched both shows.
Yeah.
Which has not happened yet. So, I'm so excited. It was the Flash Arrow crossover event, / Legends of Tomorrow prequel episode.
Backdoor pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, literally, it felt like it could have been a backdoor pilot, but except for no Rip Hunter.
No Rip Hunter and no Adam.
Yeah.
I was kind of
bummed. Well, he left, remember?
I know he left, but like you would have thought they would have maybe called him back in, but...
Well, and it just... There's some things that were kind of forced on these episodes, and there's some things that they could have just not done.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote notes. I was kind of funny about it too, right? The Flash in red and the Arrow in black.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Well, that's the way I could talk about the episodes. The Flash was called Legends of Today.
Yeah.
And Arrow was Legends of Yesterday, which cool opening with the whole flashback to Egypt.
Yep.
And that, so.
I will say this. I liked the Flash episode better than the Arrow episode.
Yeah.
The Arrow episode. Almost lost me when they went to when they pulled up to a farmhouse and they pulled me back in when I think it was Thea was like, didn't this happen in a movie already?
Yeah, I wrote that down. It says she commented that she's seen it in a movie and it was referencing the Avengers.
Did the exact same thing.
Yeah. And the house the house almost looked like Clark's house from Smallville.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So
at least it wasn't because the barn wasn't there.
Well, because in season one of Arrow, the
mansion was Lex Luthor. Well, they shoot in. I mean, they shoot in Vancouver, so you know. Obviously, stuff gets used over and over again.
Okay, so they introduced Vandal Savage.
Yeah,
I really hope they don't waste Vandal Savage and just have him be a villain for the 8 episodes of Legends of Tomorrow.
I think he'll be there because of what happened at the end of Arrow. And, I'm kind of like, you know, doing this in an order.
And I loved that, by the way.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was really cool. Okay, so let's go in your order.
Yeah, well, I wrote and I wanted to do it in the order of the episodes and that. And I wrote down that I enjoyed the interaction between the teams in part one.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of fun, you know, and it's two different writing teams.
Yeah, and it's not just that it was fun. It was just very complimentive. Like, it's like, Cisco could do this. Felicity could do that.
Right.
Diggle did this. Cisco walking into
the they actually the used Diggle. Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, you're not just a background character this time. Because the last crossover, everybody was kind of a background character, and it was just Barry and Oliver.
But again, that was season one where, like,
Barry season one of Flash, still, right, yeah, so. Yeah. So...
they're at a different storytelling point.
The conversation that Cisco's having with Thea, where he's like, you're using the name Speedy. He goes, why didn't you come to me? I could have gave you a different. I'm the guy. It was like, that was fun. The whole thing where Malcolm keeps popping out of the shadows and Barry's like, where's this guy coming from?
Does this guy know any other way to get into a room? Yeah. No, and I did like when Cisco walked into the Arrow cave and he was like, this is wrong. This is wrong.
Like he had been the one that gave her the designs, and then she didn't do it.
Not know anything about engineering.
Yeah,
and then he's like, "This will cause this overload," and she's like, "Well, that hasn't happened in 2 weeks." Okay, it happened yesterday.
Yeah, it's already happening. Yeah. But it was cool because not only were they doing the crossover, but they still were using what's going on in the Flash with Zoom. You know,
right.
Dr. Wells trying to
was there, and
and it was the thing where Dr. Wells is trying to create a formula. That will
Velocity
help.
Six.
Velocity 6 is what they called it in the show.
Yeah, was something else in the comic.
In the comic book, Jesse Quick used a mathematical formula that, you know, Johnny Quick, her dad, had created. And that was how she did her speed. And right. I was like, man, that's really similar to what... And I'm like, okay, well, his daughter's Jesse Quick. Right. So it's like, this is where that's going to come in to play. He goes out to get something for the formula, right. and Patty spots him.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, Dr. Wells. It's like, so she follows him. And this is where I was, it pissed me off more than anything.
Because they made such a big deal of pointing out why this couldn't happen earlier in the season.
Yeah, but the thing that, like, this is what pissed me off. She goes in with her gun drawn, aiming at him, and all he's got is a little medical tool in his hand, and she shoots him.
Right.
And I'm like, what kind of cop just, you know, and then I'm like, well, you know, it is this day and age where cops shoot first and ask questions later.
And, you know, but the thing is how did she get into Star Labs?
Well, right, without, like, setting off an alarm.
And again, like Oliver, like when they make fun of it, the arrow cave.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, well, we don't have the revolving door for villains that you guys have.
Exactly. So. And she shoots him and severely injures him. And they have to bring Jay in, which Jay and him had had interaction earlier about, I don't want to use this drug.
Right.
Because that's pretty much what it seems like. I don't
trust you. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see what happened between those two.
I assume
I hope that they'll do that before the end of the season and show like a flashback to Earth 2 of what happened between them. But he eventually decides, I'm going to help him. Mm-hmm. And takes the Velocity 6, and his Speed Force kicks back in, which was cool.
Yeah.
And he reaches through his chest and pulls a bullet out.
And then he says he's never going to take it again. But you know for a fact now he's hooked.
Oh, yeah. Now, like, it's like one of those things where the Speed Force is, you know, going to be one of those things where he needs it back. Mm-hmm. And eventually I think that they'll have to do it anyways because he's going to have to help. Jay
Garrick is Zoom.
No, I think that he's going to have to help fight Zoom.
Yeah, he's going to have to take
it. Yeah, and I want to see that. I want to see the two Flashes take on Zoom. That was cool. I was glad that they actually brought something
in. They did a great job of incorporating that. Just like when you get to the Arrow episode, it opens with Damian Dark.
No, that was
the Flash episode. Yeah. Damian Dark.
No. That's how they bring him in. And which that was cool great. Too. Yeah.
And you know, it was like,
well, and at the end of the episode, you know, they are at a point where they know they're going to have to confront Vandal,
right.
but it's just like a resting point. Mm-hmm. And Barry and Oliver in the coffee shop, which is a central part of that show. And a kid bumps into Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
And
with a Flash action figure.
Well, with a Flash action figure, but he looks, you know, Oliver looks at him like, you look familiar. Yeah. Like, you know,
you look like me.
Yeah. And the kid walks to his mom, and Oliver, like, realizes, wait a minute, that could be my kid, because he recognizes the mom as a character who had appeared.
His ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, she had appeared. They had not answered that in, what, 2, 3, what is Arrow, 4 season now?
Season 4, yeah.
Yeah, and so that was season two. Yeah, that had been hanging out there.
Because we saw her in Central City already, and then we saw Moira give her the money.
Yeah.
So.
And then, like, so we go into the Arrow, which... darker, obviously it's the Arrow, so, you know, even though at one point Oliver, you know, references that it's brighter,
he didn't like being in Central City.
I don't fit in, it's brighter here,
so it's too
so bright. Like, they take refuge at the farm, like you said,
at Hawkeye's house,
and Oliver starts stalking. her name's Sandra. He's literally stalking her, and she sees him. And she's like, what are you doing here? And he goes, well, you know, I seen this kid in you.
Yeah.
It's been 9 years. He's, you know. And she's like, no, that's some other guy I met a couple months after I moved here. Well, she drops his hat and Oliver picks it up. And I said to my girlfriend when we were watching, I said, oh, look, he's going to take a piece of hair out of the hat.
I was assuming he was coming away with a piece of cloth from the hat. It was a total piece of hair.
I said, look, he's going to pick the hat up and... grab a piece of hair, and she goes, he's gonna what? And literally he does it, takes the hair to Barry and says, can you do a DNA test? We don't see that part, but we know it's coming. In the meantime, Malcolm sets up a meeting between them and Vandal Savage,
right?
Because, you know, Malcolm is continuously popping up for some reason, and it's
from,
like,
the shadows, no less.
Yeah So Barry's running to the meeting,
right,
and sees a future self of him.
The ghost.
Yeah, the time he calls it a ghost. I just, you know, it's you know, just him.
Yeah,
pretty much. So he goes into the meeting. They do the whole meeting thing, and it's like, why don't you just take him out now? You know, chain him up. You know, do something.
Well, and Oliver shoots him.
Yeah.
At that meeting and leaves the arrow with his blood there. It's like, there's not something your science team can use. That kind
of
like
threw There me was off. A lot of like out of character moments in this episode. And it
and it came from the other writing team writing the other character.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure there was plenty of collaboration there. But for the most part, I mean, they have their own series and episodes to break down and things like that.
The coolest parts of these two episodes, obviously, was Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
Yeah.
Showing up. I mean, Kendra's been there for a little while, but the guy who came in as Carter Hall was awesome.
Yeah.
The guy who played Vandal Savage was awesome. And like
Vandal Savage.
I'm glad that they're casting people I haven't seen in stuff before. Yeah,
he was perfect. Yeah. Like, he looked like Vandal Savage.
Yeah, what's his name's Casper Crump.
Yeah, and he was in something like werewolfy, I think.
I think like he's from Denmark, and a lot of the stuff that I've seen on his IMDb was like, you know, Danish.
The only thing I would have changed is I made like that how it was slick back on the top.
Yeah,
I would have made it just a little more wild in the back.
Yeah,
just because you know
because of the way Vandal Savage is there.
He was a caveman.
But the jacket and the knife.
Yeah,
I love the knife thing. He's walking around like, how heavy is that damn jacket?
But how did that jacket not rattle everywhere?
Everywhere, he's like, you know, here he comes. But the whole thing with the flashback, with those characters showing why and how they are linked together, was like, okay, that's a cool way to do it. Because obviously, Vandal Savage in the comic book has a different origin.
And it was much like the Justice League Unlimited, when Hawkman...
Yeah,
when
shows
Carter
up.
Hall Hawkman Carter, showed yeah, up. Not Carter the Thanagarian War.
Yeah, James Remar played it.
Yeah, when it was that hard... And it was Shadow Thief...
Yeah.
So, I mean, they basically took that story and swapped out Shadow Thief with Vandal Savage.
Right, yeah.
Which is fine.
Well, and the thing that's, like, rough, and, you know, it happened in Justice League Unlimited, it happens out in here. In Justice League Unlimited, John Stewart had been involved with Hawkgirl.
Right.
And in this, poor Cisco, it's like, you know.
But you know what, though, is, like, Cisco is... one of the best characters in the whole TV DC thing.
Well, how about this? Everybody died.
Yeah. Oh, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody died, and it was like this cool thing because of the whole thing with Oliver with his kid. You know, he wasn't on his game.
Right.
And neither was Hawkgirl.
Right.
So yeah, they literally conflicted. Get beat by Savage.
Yeah.
You see Hawkman die. Then Hawkgirl.
Well, and he got the knife through him.
Yeah.
And died. You saw his little bit of soul.
Yeah,
escape.
His soul
and
comes out.
He grabs her, and it was like when well, Zandozan and Last Starfighter like took that guy's face. Like it was that same, like similar.
Yeah,
effect.
And it was the cool thing where like as soon as he killed Hawkman, Green Arrow's were bouncing off of him. Yeah. Like he literally had become superhuman.
And then when Barry was holding the staff, like he was starting to like, you know, his life force, like kind of like Crisis.
Yeah.
Was
cool. Literally like Arrow at one point grab it and they're like slowly.
Well, he had turning. It and like his life, like you could see like it was draining, like the Damian Dark effect.
Right. Yeah.
And then you see Ollie grab it.
And the same thing starts to happen to him.
It starts happening to him quicker.
And then he tells Barry to run.
Yeah, run,
and
Barry
runs, and literally that's where the whole time travel thing comes in.
They need to do, like, a clip of, like, everybody saying, run, Barry, run.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, put it to some...
Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a Forrest
Gump. Put it to the Benny Hill music.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it was cool that they didn't use, like, you know, time travel can be used as a crutch. A lot
and it was more
time.
Like accidental
and
time
it was,
travel.
Yeah,
you know, again,
this was
like,
one where it was
time.
Like, he knew it was going to happen, he didn't know why it was going to happen, and when it happened, it was like, holy crap, because you literally just see everybody die.
Yeah, like, it just wiped them.
Yeah.
So.
And that was cool, and then him coming back and telling Oliver, you need to be on your game, this is what's going
to
happen,
you need
know,
to
Felicity's going
to
break up with you and all this stuff. So, they... Instead of it just being Oliver and the Hawks and Flash going to confront Vandal Savage, Oliver takes Team Arrow. And it was cool because it was a fight.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, you know, Vandal wasn't expecting that at all.
I'll say this. You know how in the season premiere we saw Ollie and Barry at the grave?
Yeah.
It's Samantha. It's the kid's mom.
Oh, Sandra?
Yeah, Sandra, sorry.
Yeah.
It's the kid's mom.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. 100% now.
But then,
because
why didn't they name the kid Connor?
How do we know that's not his name yet?
His name's
or
William.
Maybe his middle name is Connor. Well, you know, maybe. We don't know that. But you know, I think she is going to die. He's going to get sent off to, like, somewhere.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll, in a couple seasons on Arrow, we'll do a time jump. And he'll come back as a teenager.
Yeah.
As Connor Hawk, wanting to be the Green Arrow.
You think that Oliver will send him to the island? And
maybe, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So, or the monastery where Connor was actually raised.
Well,
so.
And it's like I said, I still want to see... And it's one of those things that they did leave that out. I would have liked to see Jay Garrick meet Oliver Queen.
Yeah, that, because he'd been like, oh, I know your dad.
Yeah.
Or, you know, yeah. I've met you.
Yeah, yeah, I've met you in this world.
Or, you're not Robert.
Yeah. You know, well, they even referenced that at one point that, you know, I wonder what my counterpart looks like.
Yeah.
And I said to her, his counterpart's dead.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think Barry knows.
No, nobody knows. Yeah. I mean, you know, we know it.
Yeah, we know that Oliver. You know. I like to use, like, oh, you're probably fat with beer belly.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And it's like, no, you're dead.
Yeah, you're a skeleton.
Well, so. Yeah, I hope that Robert Queen shows up. And I hope that he has the Robin goatee, Hood yeah. goatee.
And I did like how Vandal Savage called him Robin Hood. And
talked about he talked about teaching Robin of Locksley how to shoot arrows. And it's like, okay,
I mean, I'm sure Legends of Tomorrow will delve much more into the Vandal Savage character.
But the whole thing is how's he going to come back to life? Because they kill him. And then...
I'm quoting right now.
He's a pile of dust. But at the end, it's the whole thing where... But his immortal power branches off of the Hawks. So it's like, at the end, his dust pile's sitting there. And all of a sudden... Malcolm comes walking in.
Yeah.
With a cup.
Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah, sorry. You know, if you haven't watched it, you know, sorry.
If you're listening to this now, jump back, like, go run around your house and jump back in time, like, 30 minutes, and then spoilers.
Right, yeah.
So.
Hopefully, if you're a fan, you've watched it already. He does the whole speech that Vandal did about, you know, being linked to them and all that, and then says... You owe me, old friend.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, what?
But then it's looking up from the cup. So yeah. he obviously is hearing this, you know.
But
so.
And that's where she asked me, she goes, well, what do you think they're doing? I said, there are still Lazarus pits out there.
Yeah.
I'm like, obviously one's been tainted, but that doesn't mean they've all been tainted.
And yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, but again, he's been a character who has, like, regenerative type abilities in
the past. But and, turning know, him I mean, into a pile of a dust pile they've of dust never done is, before.
Yeah,
so,
that's
you know.
A lot to come back from.
Yeah, I would think it would have been cool if his skull would have been there.
Yeah.
And he would have just picked up a skull.
Yeah, the skull would have been awesome.
Yeah.
So, and they have the Staff of Horus now.
Awesome episodes.
Yeah, I enjoyed both.
Do you think that they should have did them as mid-season finale?
No.
No.
Because there's too much other story happening.
Zoom.
In each one of the, like, I almost wish they could have waited and done this as the mid-season premiere.
Yeah, and then Legends of Tomorrow would have.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, they had their plan, and, you know, but no.
Well, no, this was fine the way it was. Yeah. I think it would have been, like you said, cool if it would have done it where... Because I think Legends of Tomorrow is going to be on Thursdays.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah. So it would have been cool if they would have done it that week and literally like the next day you would have went in.
Legends of Tomorrow starts in like January, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they all three going to be on at the same time? Because I thought they were taking a little bit of a longer break for Arrow.
Maybe they are.
So I don't know. We'll look into that and let you guys know. Yeah. I liked both episodes. I liked the Flash episode a little more. But to be honest, I've been enjoying the Flash series more than the Arrow series. That being said, this season of Arrow is the best since season 2.
I think that they should change the name of the show now,
though.
To Green Arrow.
I can understand why.
I'm not nitpicking, but I think at this point, if he's calling himself the Green Arrow, that they should just call the show the Green Arrow.
Yeah.
And it's same, you know, thing.
Sure.
And I love the graphic at the beginning of these crossovers where the lightning bolt hits.
I like how it went around.
Yeah.
It went around all the letters and Arrow and then strikes back through. And then the Arrow goes through the Flash.
So yeah.
It's always fun.
And both of those guys are great. Yeah. I mean, they...
Grant Gustin
We talked about Batman versus Superman. And it's like, they're so stiff in the movies. And these guys are just so relaxed with their characters now. And I mean, you know, the point where...
Stephen Amell is 4 years into this character.
And he's become Oliver Queen.
Grant Gustin is 2 years... A year and a half into this character. But like... You know, the time that Affleck and Cavill, you know, I mean, it's been maybe 3 or 4 months of their lives total.
Right.
Right? Whereas, like, 4 years,
right?
For Stephen Amell, like, yeah. I mean, by season four of Smallville, Tom Welling turned into a good actor.
Yeah,
you know, or maybe not a good actor, but you know,
he turned into a good Clark Kent,
serviceable actor.
He was a good Clark Kent.
So,
and like I said, I hope he shows up as Superman on Supergirl.
That would be really cool.
I really, you know, and you know, look, talk a little bit about Supergirl. Who's Hank Henshaw?
Martian Manhunter.
You're thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
Like, at first, I was thinking Cyborg Superman.
And I was hoping not.
But the whole thing a couple episodes ago where Kara's sister was on the computer.
Yeah.
And his eyes went red and he was like, Danvers. That first was like, okay, I don't think Cyborg Superman, like, I don't think he's Cyborg yet. So, yeah. I don't think Dean Cain is dead.
No, not by a long shot. They wouldn't have thrown him in there and then kill him off.
I don't think
that Hank Henshaw is dead. No. I don't think the real Hank Henshaw is dead.
I think it's Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
Which will be like this huge reveal at the end of season one.
Which is cool because it's the same idea that bringing in Red Tornado.
Right.
And I hope that Red Tornado comes back, but I hope that he's more self-aware and evolves himself. You know, I've used that word a lot in this episode. Yeah. But I hope that he, well, you know, doesn't evolve himself, but, you know, redoes himself, repairs himself, and changes his whole look.
Right.
And, and so the giant T was just too much.
Yeah, it was,
you know.
The no cape, you know, which
the cape thing was fine, but I did like the effect when he starts twisting. The tornado effect was cool
because you saw his legs start to turn.
And I was like, okay, that's cool.
It was just, you know, the fact that it looked like bad cosplay. Like, here's just a tip for Warner Brothers.
We've seen pictures of this thing months ago. Yeah, though. I mean,
for Warner Brothers, just in general. Go to Comic-Con.
Yeah, look at cosplayers.
Look at the cosplayers, and then hire...
You don't even have to go to Comic-Con. Just go on Google and type cosplayer.
Just go and see them in person.
Yeah.
San Diego, New York, you know,
Dragon Con. Yeah, DragonCon's a...
Because DragonCon's a big one for cosplay. Go to these shows and offer these people money to make your costumes with an actual budget. Because...
Or don't even give them a budget, because it seems like when they don't have a budget, they do better jobs than the people who have hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You see all these people who make working Iron Man suits.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic.
Yeah.
There was the dude who did the Apocalypse
costume
that was floating around. Every Superman and Batman that you see at these shows are better than anything we've seen on screen ever.
Yeah.
Ever. You know...
Batman can turn his head. He can move around. Like, yeah.
These guys are in shape.
They're posing. They make, and the thing is the muscle ripples and all that on their costumes don't look fake.
No.
It looks like it's because
these guys are like, you know.
Yeah, some of them are jacked, really in, you know? Yeah.
There's the one guy.
Oh, believe me, the one year at Dragon Con after 300 it came out and the guys who showed up as the
the Spartans.
The Spartans.
It's like, really?
They were, I'm like, damn. It's like, you know.
I know there's not much to that costume, but you didn't have time to make that because you're always at the gym and eating kale. So
your cosplay is the cosplay.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's all fine.
I agree with you on the whole thing with, you know, a lot of the costume designers have been there in Hollywood for a long time. But it's like, why haven't you picked up some of these cosplayers your staff?
Yeah. Have you ever watched Face Off?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, those people do amazing things in like 4 days.
Yeah, and they usually like, you know, get a job.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I think almost all of them.
Some of them I know design makeup for people at haunted houses.
Yeah,
and that. But I mean, like V Neil, she hires those people usually like afterwards. You know, a few of them have gotten hired, and you know they show up at conventions and their designs and all that.
But
and like, the same thing with cosplayers.
The Flash costume.
Yeah,
it's. I'm going to steal your word. It's evolved.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Well, yeah, it's got the white and it's
getting a little red. It's got like the yellow piping throughout now.
They're not doing the new 52 costume as much.
The Arrow costume.
Oh, it's
the best one yet. Yeah. It's the like his hood is awesome.
Yeah.
The mask, you know, all he's missing now is the goatee, but even that doesn't matter. But no, and I did like, you're going sleeveless now? And
yeah.
It's like, I lived on an island by myself for 5 years. I don't get cold.
Right.
It's like, all right.
Okay.
Good point.
In the North China Sea.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Okay. But, that makes sense.
Sure. Thank you. But yeah. All right. So We talked a lot of TV today.
Yeah.
Some movies.
what, next week we're going to do Star Wars Clone Wars.
We are. Next week we're going to talk about the Clone Wars.
We're building up to The Force Awakens, yeah. Obviously. So
we're actually going to The Force Awakens on Friday at like 9 a.m.
Yeah.
We may record after that. Instead of doing a Thursday show, we might be a day late.
Or we may do a Thursday show.
Or we'll do a Thursday show and then
half-hour review or something.
So we haven't decided yet. So, next week we're going to talk about Clone Wars. The week after that, we're going to talk about Rebels.
Which is the week that Force Awakens comes out.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a Force Awakens just before Thursday.
Right.
We also are going to talk to Brandon Montclair soon.
Yeah.
Who writes Rocket Girl for Image Comics. And is one of the co-writers with Amy Reeder, I think that's how you say it.
I think that's right. Do you have the book behind you?
No, it's somewhere in that stack.
Oh my god.
which needs to be bagged badly.
Yeah.
Who's the co-writer for Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur All New, All Different for Marvel. Which will be really exciting.
I flipped through it last night. Yeah. You know, I have forgot to pick it up the week it came out, but I flipped through it last night. It looks cool.
So it's a cool story. It ties back into Kirby really well.
Okay.
Cool. And it's not just like renaming a character. It's not like they've just all of a sudden.
Yeah, I see Moon Boy in the
book. Moon Boy is actually in the book.
Yeah.
And something happens that turns her and she's an Inhuman.
Right.
I'm interested in it for sure. And Devil Dinosaur is such an interesting character. Just because
he's a dinosaur.
Who doesn't love a dinosaur?
A red one at that.
So let's talk comics real quick. Every week it seems like you're getting less and less, and I'm getting more and more.
Oh, did you get more than me this week?
I don't think I did, but like we're pretty close, as you can see.
Oh yeah.
I will say this.
I haven't read anything because obviously I get my books were there when I got home last night.
I read Star Wars because it was Vader down.
Oh right.
Very, very cool.
Okay.
But that was, I think that was the only thing I got a chance to read from yesterday. I will say this. A lot of these All New, All Different books are into issue 3.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the point where I'm going to start dropping stuff.
And I already have started
dropping stuff. Yeah, I know you have.
But I mean, yesterday I got Totally Awesome Hawk number 1 and Red Wolf number 1. Because I was curious about the Red Wolf character. Yeah. I don't think I've ever really read anything with him in it. He was in one of the Secret Wars crossover books that I haven't read yet. And, now at this point, Secret Wars has turned into kind of a joke because it's not going to be done until next year.
Well, issue 8 comes out next week.
And issue 9 should come out the week after that, but it won't.
No. So, hopefully Marvel has learned a lesson. To get at least the story out of it. But it's the artist as well, because the artist on Secret Wars, who I'm all of a sudden having a brain fart about, has trouble with monthly books, and this was supposed to be a bi-weekly
book. Well, right, and it's the thing where I've said to you that, when you're planning a mini series, obviously they usually plan this stuff out 2 months ahead, or 2 years. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not months, years. They're planning this stuff 2 years ahead of time. I mean, they do these getaways.
They do the yearly writers retreat.
Yeah, the writers retreat.
Where Hickman pitched this idea.
Right. But the whole thing is, and this is for, there's bigger companies that do the crossovers.
Right.
Get your story, get your art, at least get 6 issues if you're doing an 8-issue story. Get 6 issues in before you even release it.
6-issue
story.
And then
Hickman expanded the story out, and it's like, well, then the artist is like, okay, I got to do more.
Yeah.
At that point, you're like...
Same rate.
get a rotating artist then.
Yeah.
And
fill in.
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole thing where they did crossovers where they were so fast coming out that it was like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what was it? AVX.
Yeah, that came out.
There were 5 AVX
books. Well, I'm even going... I'm going back 20-plus years stuff.
I'm just going recent.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, Valiant, the original Valiant company, did Unity.
Yeah.
And Unity was 2 bookends, and then it went through all the regular books. They had that shit out, fast.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even DC back in the day when they did Death of Superman.
And the Crises, all that stuff.
Well, I mean, but, the Death of Superman was a 3-arcing story. Right. And they had it all ready and set to go. They knew what they were doing. Right. And it just
not only were they ready, but they knew what was going to happen immediately after.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like, we've already talked about this, where it's like, is it a mistake to put out your books when you ain't finished the, and you know, I just went a little Cincinnati there, when you haven't finished your story yet.
Right.
Because we're still sitting there going, what the hell happened?
Like, what happened to Cyclops?
Yeah.
What happened to Reed Richards?
Yeah.
What happened to Sue?
Yeah.
Doctor Strange is...
Well, and like, it's some of that where they've spoiled it, because it's like, you know, Maestro somehow beats Doctor Doom. I mean, that's where Contest of Champions has come out of.
I get it.
So it's like one of those things where you're like, why did they put that book out before they ended it?
I don't know. And that pause you guys heard before was me shrugging my shoulders.
Yeah. So. Well, it's just, you know, it's really... But I enjoy these stories, but it's confusing to me because it's like, well, you know, why?
Right.
So, I don't know.
So you picked up a few interesting ones. You got Blackjack Ketchum number one.
I liked the name of the title is what sold it. And then I read what it's about, and I'm like, okay, I'll try it out.
Yeah. And then you picked up Mystery Girl number one, and that's from Dark Horse,
sounded
right?
interesting,
yeah,
too.
That one looked cool.
She doesn't remember stuff, but she can solve mysteries.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't remember her story.
It's like Memento.
Yeah. So. She can solve everybody else's mysteries in a minute, pretty much.
Very cool. And then for me, I grabbed Robin War number one.
Yeah.
When I
wasn't expecting you not to.
So, Damian Wayne is coming back to Gotham for the first time since...
Since he's
been dead and gone and back. So, and he's not happy about the Robin logo showing up everywhere.
Does he have copyright on it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think he does.
Wouldn't Dick Grayson have copyright on the Robin logo?
I mean, wouldn't Bruce Wayne?
Well, you know, Dick Grayson's family was using that costume.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. I picked up Spidey number one, which is like it's not like in context of
it's
the Marvel universe.
Like the flashback stories, I guess. Okay.
So
I read that and I was
give
like,
it a shot.
Yeah, you know.
Gwen Stacy was in the first issue, so I was like, I'll check it out. I will say this, Invincible Iron Man number four.
Yeah.
Mary Jane Watson is about to become a main character in that book.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's interesting. And then I also got Totally Awesome Hulk, and then Rocket Girl, which
and
has
Daredevil.
Been on. I actually didn't pick up Daredevil. It's on.
Okay.
I didn't take it off. I don't know. I thought about it, and I think I might just get that one in collections.
It's what I told you. At a certain point, I'm reading these books and I'm going, I'll just get the trades.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Iron Man. I enjoyed the first couple issues, but I'll go trades.
Yeah.
On it. There's just some things where I'm like, I don't need all these books.
Well, this is like following up on the Superior Iron Man,
right,
which I actually really liked.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I've been doing it monthly. Oh, and then Nova number two, which I haven't read yet, but I really liked Nova number one.
Okay.
So, but yeah. All right, guys. So that's the show this week.
Yes. Give us some 4-star reviews.
Four.
Five stars.
Five stars.
Sorry, my
man,
brain's not
stars.
Here. Four, fives. Give us stars that are like ranking us up.
Give us good stars.
While Brian kicks the
As
table.
As I kick the table over and you hear that.
Yeah.
Five-star reviews on iTunes is great. You can also find us on Stitcher, pretty much anywhere where you can listen to a podcast.
Thanks for all the likes on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we don't have a infamous podcast Instagram, but
you should do that and you should be in charge of it.
Probably not.
you can get a second phone and that can be the infamous podcast phone and people can call you.
Are you going to pay for this phone?
You buy the phone and I'll add a line to my
wow own. But yeah, anyway. Thanks for those likes, and you know, we appreciate you guys listening. You know, Where can they find you at, Brian?
I'm on Twitter at Brian Tudor and on the Instagram at Brian Tudor.
I'm J. Michael Podorf on Instagram, Johnny Podorf on Twitter, Facebook, obviously. Everything's in the About Us.
Yeah.
You know,
on
if
the
you
About
wanna,
Us page if you want to track us down. The other thing
if you're going to friend me on Facebook, let me know why you're friending me on Facebook, because otherwise I probably won't friend you if you're not in my circle of
funny,
people.
Funny, funny, funny.
Yeah, please.
And, you know, we're the Infamous Podcast, infamouspodcast.com. As I said earlier in the episode, it's theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com. If you want to email us, and, you know, Twitter, Infamous Podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great week. And
prepare for the Star Wars love.
Just lots of it. Anyway. All right. Thanks. Later.